your Bibles back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 will serve as a text of our lesson together this morning. We have so much to be thankful for, has already been said. And we're here to worship God. Worship God in spirit and in truth. Because without God, we are nothing. But with God, we can do all things. And it's good to be here with our brothers and sisters in Christ. If someone asked you, what does a Christian look like? What would you say? Some might point to church attendance. Others might mention Bible knowledge. Others might emphasize the morality that you hold and practice. And while those things are important, Paul gives us three surprisingly simple characteristics that really should describe all of us, every child of God, every Christian. And they are so short that they can almost be memorized in a single breath. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Now, imagine if someone had to describe you to someone that had never met you before. What would they say? What would you want them to say? Would it be that they are the most joyful people that I know? Or would it be, you know, they are praying all the time? Or would it be that they are so thankful? Would those be the characteristics that people would use to describe you and me? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have someone say that about us? Three commands, three habits, three attitudes that Paul gives us. And yet none of these commands are possible without a heart that is devoted to Christ. Consider the context of 1 Thessalonians with me for just a moment. As Paul closes his first letter to those Christians in Thessalonica, he gives this, as what Hubert just read for us, a series of short exhortations that you read in verses 12 through 22. And don't get me wrong, I wish I had the time to talk about all of those this morning, but we can't. You go back and look at the context here, though, the church was enduring persecution. So consider these short exhortations that Paul gives at the end of chapter 5 in the context of how they are to be living this way. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6, you also become imitators of us and the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 2, verse 14. For you, brethren, become imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, for you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own country. Chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith, so that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that you were going to suffer affliction, and that it came to pass as you know. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in all things give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Could you imagine? You go to chapter 4. Some of these brethren in Thessalonica were grieving the deaths of fellow Christians, as you consider the end of chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Others were anxious about the Lord's return in the beginning of chapter 5 in verses 1 through 11. And Paul does not ignore their hardships. Instead, he tells them how Christians should live in the midst of difficult circumstances, how Christians are to interact in the midst of hard times, how Christians are to behave in the midst of things that are not good, and still have a relationship with Christ. Again, notice verse 16. Rejoice always. This is the shortest verse in the Greek New Testament. Now, of course, in our English Bibles, it's John 11:35, Jesus wept, but that's actually three words in Greek. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, this is only two words. But talk about impact. Rejoice always. The verb there, rejoice always, means to be glad, to delight, to rejoice. Now, Paul is not commanding Christians to pretend that life is easy. Of course, we just considered the context. We shouldn't pretend that life is easy either. He himself, if Paul knew that life wasn't easy, it was Paul. When you open your Bible and consider 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 23 through 28, you see that he says in that long list of things, he suffered beatings and imprisonment and hunger and rejection and persecution and hate from his own countrymen. But yet he still says, rejoice always. Biblical joy can be had because it's not rooted in circumstances. These Christians in Thessalonica were facing undesirable circumstances. You see, our joy is rooted in Christ. That is why Paul, as we've been studying on Wednesday nights from the book of Philippians, he could write from prison, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice, Philippians 4 and verse 4. And he noticed that he does not say rejoice because everything is good or rejoice because you want everything to be good. He says, quite frankly, rejoice always despite the circumstances. And there is a difference. You see, our happiness changes, but our joy in Christ does not have to change. Life changes, health declines, loved ones die, your plans fail, but thank God that Christ remains the same. And if our joy depends on our circumstances, it will constantly rise and fall. But if our joy depends on Christ, it remains steady because he never changes. Hebrews 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We keep in our minds the spiritual riches that we have in Christ. We keep in our minds the eternal glory that we have because of Christ. And we know that they are an ever-present reality. I don't know how else we get through life. If anybody else has any other suggestions, I'm all ears. I don't know how else we get through life with trials and suffering, except that we have joy in our spiritual riches and the hope of eternal glory. How else do you get through life, brothers and sisters? This is what it means to rejoice. And this is how we rejoice each day, because joy strengthens our relationship with God. But I want to tell you, joy by itself is not enough. Paul next points us to the Christian's continual dependence on God. Did you notice again, verse 17, pray without ceasing? That Greek word translated in our English Bibles, without ceasing, literally means without interruption or continually. Not in the sense of every second, but as an ongoing practice, something that you continually do. And Paul uses the same word himself when he says he constantly remembers brethren in prayer. Obviously, though, we know Paul slept. We know Paul preached. We know Paul built tents. But notice even in the context of our letter, go to 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2, and notice how Paul uses this. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. Chapter 3 and verse 9, for what thanks we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account. Notice now verse 10, as we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. And of course, it doesn't end there. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11, Paul says, to this end, we also pray for you, notice this now, always, that our God will count you worthy of our calling and fulfill every desire for goodness in the work of your faith with power. So this command cannot mean praying every second of every day. But what it does is it describes a life that is continually turned toward God. And I think we understand the importance of communication. Most of us here are married. How important is communication in marriage? Men, brothers, I don't mean to get you in trouble, but how important is communication in marriage? It's very important. And of course, sometimes we're not as good at it as we think we are. We may know this story well. Maybe you've lived this story. A wife once said, "My husband has selective hearing. He can hear the refrigerator open from three doors away. He can hear the thermostat drop down from outside, but he can't hear me when I say it's time to take the trash out." Now, we might laugh at that, but can we sometimes be like that when it comes to our communication with God? Go like this. We can bring our requests to Him, but we're not always good at maintaining that daily communication that Paul says, pray without ceasing. What is he saying? Never give up praying. We need that constant communication with God. It is something that we easily forget to do. Who do we talk to the most each day? That's the question. Who do we talk to the most each day? Who do we know most intimately? Who knows us most intimately? God needs to be the one we talk to about everything we have going on in life. And I want to tell you, this command is such a wonderful blessing. We don't pray only when we have a problem or needs God help. God wants you to talk to Him all the time. Prayer is not just reserved for emergencies or tragedies. Prayer becomes the atmosphere of the Christian life. It's much like breathing. Do you think about breathing every time you take a breath? Go like this. How easy it is to forget these very simple commands, though, brothers and sisters. You may not consciously think about every breath, but you never stop breathing. Likewise, the Christian continually depends upon God. How can I put this in applicable terms? When bad news comes, pray. When good news comes, pray. When you're confused, pray. When you're tempted, pray. When you're thankful, pray. How can I say this? Because this is exactly what Jesus did. When you look at the sample that we have of His life in the first four books of our New Testament, this is exactly what Jesus did. Prayer should not become our last resort, but instead, prayer should be our first response. Because a joyful heart leads to continual prayer. You notice the correspondence that Paul has here. And continual prayer naturally makes grateful hearts. You notice verse 18? And everything give thanks, Paul says. We realize that everything is a blessing from God in our life. It is something that is not deserved. Think about this. Job said this. We came into this world naked, and we will leave this world with absolutely nothing. Who's the source of your blessings? Our eternal perspective will cause us to give thanks always because we see that we have nothing apart from God. James 1:17 reminds us that God is a giver of every good and perfect gift. And we acknowledge and are reminded that God is that his goodness that we have those things and we give thanks because of that. He has given us all things that we enjoy. He gave us our jobs. He gave us our wealth. He gave us our home. He gave us our spouse. Think about this. He gave us our children. Some people can't have children. He gave us our parents. He gave us other Christians. He gave us our friends. He gave us our salvation. And he gave us a hope of heaven. How could we not give thanks in everything? Notice carefully what Paul says, though. Notice what he does not say. Does he say give thanks for everything? Does he? Or does he say give thanks in everything? I believe there's a significant difference there. We don't thank God for sin or evil. We don't thank God for a tragedy in and of itself, but in every circumstance, we can still find reasons to thank God. And that Greek word that is used there means to express gratitude or literally give of thanks. even during suffering that these Christians were enduring, Christians still have blessings because God remains faithful, Christ still reigns, and our hope remains secure. Our salvation remains certain if we remain faithful to Him. I want to tell you, it'd be easy for somebody to say this and not live it out. What was Paul and Silas doing in prison in Philippi in Acts 16? Were they giving thanks? You see, have you ever noticed, and I'm telling on myself, have you ever noticed that we can remember one bad thing that ruins our entire day or week or month or year and forget about 1,000 other good things that God has given? One small inconvenience can become bigger in our minds than 100 blessings that God has given. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to complain? I dare not mention Philippians 2:14 where Paul says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. How easy it is to forget that verse too, isn't it? And don't get me wrong, I might be pointing the finger, but remember, I've got three pointing back at me. God blesses us so much, and we still find the audacity to complain and murmur and gripe with an ungodful, godly, and unthankful attitude. I want to tell you something. What is Paul teaching us here? Gratitude changes perspective. Complaining magnifies problems. There's going to be problems. So what do? Thanksgiving magnifies God. You see, two Christians can face the exact same trial. Think about this. You have two people facing the same thing. One becomes bitter and the other one becomes better. Which one are we going to be? That's the perspective that Paul is giving us. The difference is often found in what you choose to focus on. And I want to tell you, Jeffrey, you may be telling us these things. Yes, we've heard them before, and I'm going to be honest with you. I hope you've heard the entire Bible before. I'm just up here regurgitating everything you know already. It was Peter who said, I stir your minds up by way of reminder. You remember that? What do we learn from this? Why is this so important? Why are you bringing this to our attention? Yes, we know that we need to rejoice always. Yes, we know that we need to pray without ceasing. Yes, we know that in everything we have to give thanks. Why is this so important? Look at the end of verse 18. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, that's a good question. People have asked that. What is God's will for my life? Those are some important questions. But before God reveals those specific opportunities, He has already revealed what His will is. God wants His people to be what? Joyful and prayerful and thankful. And He knows these commands are only possible where? Where are these found? What does the end of verse 18 say? In Christ Jesus. Outside of Christ, there is no lasting joy. Outside of Christ, there is no true hope. Outside of Christ, there is no covenant relationship through which we approach God with boldness, as the Hebrew writer says. And these attitudes flow from being united with Christ and walking faithfully with Him each day. It is possible to know a great deal about God's will while ignoring the parts that He has already revealed for us. But God has certainly clearly told us His will here. The question is not whether we know what His will is. What's the question? The question is this. Are we living His will? Paul gives those three short commands. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in everything. A joyful Christian. A praying Christian. A thankful Christian. That is the kind of disciple every one of us should strive to be. And I'm not saying by any means that some of us are not doing that. You know, honestly, and I think if I asked Brother Greg the same thing, sometimes it's easy to preach on things that affect the preacher the most and what the audience needs. But how many of you needed to hear those words today? We live in a country where we're blessed beyond measure. If we ask Brother Freddie what it's like in El Salvador and Stanley, how blessed are we here in America? Absolutely. May we never forget it. I want to tell you something else. You know, I'm not saying it's bad to watch the news channel, but why is it that the news always shows us the negative of everything? Why is that? Why is it that the news always emphasizes the negative? My entire life, I'm 37 years old, and all I've ever heard my entire life is how bad Mexico is. Right? I was talking to Brother Freddie. There's churches of Christ and Christians in Mexico. I didn't know that. Does that change your perspective? It did mine. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks. Why? Because that's God's will for your life. And so much is God's will for your life, it says, in Christ Jesus. How about it this morning, brothers and sisters and friends? How does this affect your life now? Perhaps you realize that your joy has faded. Perhaps you realize that your prayer life is weak. Perhaps you realize that your gratitude has turned into thanklessness. If you are a Christian, God calls you back to a life that is centered on Him. Through repentance and prayer and renewed trust, you can once again experience the joy that comes from fellowship with Christ. Let me ask you a question. If you're a Christian, when you were baptized, think about the time when you were baptized. Some of you, that's 60 plus years ago. Think about it. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 to do some self-examination, doesn't he? I want you to think about when you were baptized. When you came up out of the water, how did you feel? How did you feel? You know that eunuch on his way rejoicing? Have you lost that joy? Have you lost the power, what it is to be a follower of Christ? Have you been watching that news channel too much and you get wrapped up in what is happening now? You miss the forest for the trees? Guess what? I've read the last book of the Bible. I'm sure you have too. God wins. I don't care about what happens in America. I'll be honest with you. You know why? I'm a Christian. And that matters more than being a citizen of the United States of America. Can I get an amen on that? Thank you.
In God we trust.
That's right. I want to say this as we wrap up. Paul concludes by saying, as we see in verse 18, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We know Jesus says something about that himself as well. A passage that makes people feel uncomfortable. In Matthew 7 and verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But notice what he says. But he who does the what? But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 7 and verse 21. The will of God is something to be obeyed. These commands to rejoice always and to pray without ceasing and to give thanks and everything are part of that obedient life that Jesus calls us to, that Paul calls us to. And those are the characteristics that we are to have, that those who belong to Christ. But I want to tell you this. If you have never obeyed the gospel, God's will is not only that you live a joyful and prayerful and thankful life, because apart from Christ, those attributes and characteristics mean absolutely nothing. And I would dare not say that if Scripture didn't say it. Because where did Paul say it was found? What is God's will? It's in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're a prayerful and joyful and thankful Christian, but you have not obeyed the gospel, if I can be honest and open with you, there's no purpose for your life. But your son, the Son of God came to give your life purpose. And you can respond to him in obedient faith. Again, what did he say? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Not my words, but the words of Jesus. Believe in Christ. Turn from sin and repentance. Confess Jesus as Lord. And be baptized into Christ. And then when you do those things, you enter into Christ, where those blessings are found, and that's where you begin a life of joyful, prayerful, and thankful service. Here's something I want to leave you with this morning. May each and every one of us here leave today asking, am I doing the Father's will? Am I living as a kind of disciple who will enter the kingdom of heaven? And if I'm not doing one of those two things, what needs to change today? If you want to give your life to Jesus this very moment, or if you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ, would you please come as we stand and sing for your encouragement?